When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Fish, who, by the way, will be playing nearby somewhere in the next couple of weeks, and I'm sure this guy probably has tickets for them. He is my best friend of all time. He is the Jets play-by-play man on Q1043, Jets Radio Network, and a guy that I used to work with way back in 1997. He is Bob Wischus. And Bob, good morning. Jerry and CeeLo, how are you, man?
You let off. I'm doing the Fiesta Bowl. I'm going to be in a hotel room alone when Fish is playing the Garden on New Year's Eve.
That sucks.
My wife will be rocking out.
I'm sure she will. I'm glad you still enjoy your fit. How you doing? All right.
I miss you. I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm good. So, CeeLo, I'll tell you this real quick before we get into all the good stuff. So, Bob is a fantastic golfer, always has been as long as I've known him. And back in the day, we would go from time to time, and it was a thrill to play with Bob Wischusen. And there was one morning when he was doing an overnight, and I was his board op, and he said, hey, we're going to play. You want to go? I'm like, sure. I'm like, where are we going? He goes, we're just right down 78. No problem. Following Bob, not knowing where we're going, we ended up in Pennsylvania. Is that or is that not true, Bob?
Well, I mean, right down 78.
It is down 78, so anyhow. All right, so let's talk about your football team, my man, because I am very confused by this team. Just, you've been there for what, 20? How many years are you doing this now, 22?
This is year 23 of doing all of the games. I was the backup guy for a few years as well. My first year covering the Jets, being there regularly for FAN, was 96. It was 1-15. It was year two of Rich Kotite. I've been there every year since.
Wow. So you have seen.
Yeah, that was baptism by fire.
Yeah, I would say so. How do you, I am so thrown off by this team on so many different levels. You've been there every week. What is this team? Explain it to me.
That's a great question. I think they are a team that has enough talent that made Bill Belichick call up and say, I'd like to coach it. And I think that is still real, right? Like, Bill Belichick didn't call the Saints, and he didn't call the Bears. He called the Jets because I think he sees a roster that next year has potentially 4 out of 5 spots on the offensive line solidified, and it's got Breece Hall, and it's got Garrett Wilson, and it's got Sauce Gardner, and it's got Quincy Williams, and it's got Quinnen Williams. And I mean, there are a lot of really good football players on this team.
Yeah.
I do think that the offense, especially at the start of the season, I'm not, 100% sold schematically that they're as creative as they need to be. And they just got off to a sputtering start. And if you look at I know that the defense has come under fire. They're not playing to their standard. They'd be the first to say it. But at the same time, at the start of the year, the defense was playing well enough to win. I mean, you look at the wins or the losses that they had and all of the one score losses. You know, you lose at home to the Broncos by a point where you scored 9. Like yesterday, they scored 9, and 3 times yesterday, the Rams scored, taking over in plus territory because the offense either turned the ball over with a fumble or turned it over twice on downs. And they only gave up 19 points. That's a defense playing well enough to win. So the lion's share of the times they've lost this year, the offense just hadn't flat out scored enough. And that's been the puzzling thing because they have enough talent to score more points.
Bob, what do you make of the frustrations from Garrett Wilson right now? Jerry and I were talking about it. We were going through the stats and what he said post-game. He does have quite a few targets. Even since Devontae Adams got here, it's not like it's fallen off a cliff or anything. Yet you can see and feel his frustration week in and week out. Do you think that's more about him individually or about the frustrations of the team not winning games?
Yeah, I think with Garrett Wilson, it's always, number one, it's about the frustration of not winning. right? I mean, if you look at like the program he came from, all they did was win. And if you know him at all, and I've gotten to know him at least a little bit in talking to him, losses for him, he reacts to losses the exact way that you want a young star to react to losses. Like, it stings. And I think that's most of his frustration comes from the losing. If they were 11-4 right now instead of 4-11, and he had the exact same numbers, he would not in any way, shape, or form be one of those diva wide receivers wondering how I'm not getting the ball enough or like at all. He's got zero of that in him. I think the lion's share of his frustration is the results.
I know.
That's my impression of being around him.
And I'm clearly not asking you to tell me anything that's not out there, but from your vantage point, was Rodgers healthy earlier in the season? Because to me, outside looking in, he looks like a different player now than he was in September and October.
Yeah, I definitely think he was fighting through some things. And again, I'm like you, I'm just eyeballing it, right? Like, he looks like he can run around and protect himself a little bit more now than he could earlier. Not shocking for someone, you know, 41 going on 42 years old and playing a position where you're going to get hit by, you know, heat-seeking missiles who are 275 pounds and can run like the wind, and their job is to basically try to go kill you. Like, that's what he signed up for, right?
Yep. Yeah.
You kind of have to have a screw loose to want to play in this league. I've always kind of thought that. And, you know, but, yeah, I mean, I definitely think he was banged up midway through the season. I think you're right. He probably is able to help himself a little bit more now with his legs, and that definitely makes a difference.
And I know it's been, you know, it's been sketchy since he's been here. They haven't won nearly enough, and last year was what it was. What was interesting to me watching the documentary on Netflix, I don't know how many people have watched it. I enjoyed it immensely. I could not believe, and I don't know why I didn't have this opinion prior, but I was blown away by how much he comes across as just loving the game of football and the desire to win. And it hasn't transpired here. I get that. But from your dealings with him, does that come through loud and clear when you're at least around him?
Yes. Like, I have not seen the documentary yet. I'm like running all over the place with these bowl games and whatnot. Mm. That, you know, that's definitely like once football's over and I'm missing football a little bit, that's one of those where I can get my football fixed by going back and watching that kind of stuff. So I'm looking forward to seeing it myself. But at least my impression with him, yes, you can't do this at this level with all of the things that you do all year round that nobody sees just to prepare yourself to play at this level unless you love it. But like, I've always thought that. I remember going one time, I'm going to say I was probably either young at FAN on the road, maybe I was in college. I had to have been in college. I remember being at Red Sox batting practice and watching Wade Boggs just one after another getting thrown like outside batting practice pitches and just serving one ball after another off the green monster going the other way. Hmm. And I remember standing there thinking like, God, that looks incredibly skillful, but incredibly boring. Like, how many days do you think he stands there and just does this?
Yeah.
And just keeps on serving balls out to left field. I mean, how many days do you think in the gym after practice is over, Reggie Miller probably stood there and shot free throws? Right? There's got to be something inside of you that loves it, that loves the boring, that loves the mundane, that like never, ever gets tired of it. Like, I mean, you know, we talk about golf, Darren. I love golf and I'll play golf as much as I possibly can. But like, I don't know about you, go to the range and I'm like halfway through a bucket and I'm like, all right,
I'm good. That's all for today.
You know, I'm warm. Like, let's go. Can we play now?
Yeah.
You know? And then you hear about guys like Vijay Singh used to hit balls until like his hands would bleed.
Yeah. All
but,
day.
Like, to be that great at something, you have to have a thing inside of you and a love for that sport that's just different, that keeps on driving you to want to keep on doing the same thing over and over again when there isn't, you know, 75, 80,000 people there to jump up and down and scream and yell and cheer for you while you're doing it.
All right, let me ask you about Rodgers from this standpoint, not having anything to do with the success or lack thereof on the field this year, his abilities, his personality, his care for the game. We know he's a little bit of a different, unique individual. So I want your sense of being around the team, talking to people around the team, how has he fit in inside this locker room where he's kind of come in from the outside? You talked about all the talent that they have. The expectations were what they were. How has Aaron Rodgers fit in as a Jet?
I've never gotten the impression that he's fit in any other way than you would think, like the legendary quarterback comes running, walking in, and all the guys that kind of grew up watching him, you know, while they played Madden with, like, saucer eyes were like, oh, my God, I'm in a huddle with Aaron Rodgers. Like, there's a reason Devontae Adams and Alan Lazard are like, yeah, like, follow him. Where is the trail of breadcrumbs that lead me back to Aaron Rodgers? I want to go keep playing with him. So these guys are about football. But like, I have no idea if they even watch McAfee and hear things that he says. Like, I don't think that, like, as a teammate, I don't think I've ever gotten anything from these, from the players on the team other than him being that, you know, sage, old, legendary player, but at the same time being a really, really good teammate. I've never sensed any friction in the locker room based on his personality at all. None of that's come back to me.
Bob was choosing with us, Jets play-by-play man, Q1043, Jets radio, also all the stuff on ESPN, which we will get to because I got a huge hockey fan to my left. And, well, we're going to talk about that in a moment, too. I guess the last one on the Jets for me, if you were, it's been such a crazy season. There's been so much that has gone on from Saleh to Douglas to the report last week to the job search now. If you were going to bet $50 on it, is Rodgers back next year, or do you think this team goes in a completely different direction, or does it simply depend on who they bring in as coach and GM?
Yeah, if I had to bet on it, I would say he's probably not back, but only because, like, there's always change. But do I think that there's absolutely a chance he comes back? There's absolutely a chance he comes back for the reason that you said at the end. You have to wait and see. There's so many balls in the air, the biggest of which, who are the decision makers?
Mm.
What's their vision? And what are their options? Where do they draft? In that draft room, will they have a pick that leads them to one of these quarterbacks towards the top of the draft? Will one of the quarterbacks drop far enough if they have a pick that's not in the top five? And it doesn't look like right now they probably will have a top five pick, but kind of hovering based on these last few weeks, maybe at best, fifth or so, if I'm thinking about the records of the other teams. Maybe if they win another game, they could be picking as low as 10th or 11th. Usually if there's a quarterback or two out there, they're gone by then. Will there even be a consensus in the draft room based on who they hire about one of those quarterbacks? And then you look at the free agent quarterbacks that would be available. I mean, look at the list. Outside of bringing home Sam Darnold, if Minnesota ever were willing to let him go, and that's a completely separate conversation that they have to have, which quarterback that's on the free agent market would you sign up for? Because anybody in the free agent market, none of them want to sign like a 1-year contract.
Right.
I mean, anybody in the free agent market wants security. They want to sign a multi-year deal to come in and be your starter. So is Pittsburgh letting Russell Wilson go? No, I wouldn't think so. Not with the success they're having. And they don't have an alternative behind Russell Wilson. You know, I don't think they believe in Justin Fields the same way that obviously Minnesota drafted their future, so they have a very interesting conversation to have. So with all of those unknowns, how could you possibly right now say that Aaron Rodgers is 100% not coming back to the Jets? That he might be by far the best option. And if he wants to come back, and you know, the general manager and new head coach and new offensive system all appeal to him, I mean, I absolutely could see him coming back just based on kind of all of those stars aligning, but that's a lot of stars to align.
Yep.
Right? And you got to wait for all that to come. But again, they have to hire these decision makers first.
All right. So then let's play out that hypothetical, because you outlined all of the variables and the question marks, and we get that. We understand it. So let's go for a second on the thought that he does come back. And you just mentioned the possibility of, you know, different offensive system. And we started with you saying, you know, maybe from looking from a distance, not as quite as exotic or creative on offense as maybe they need it to be. So for him, at this stage of his career, he's got his buddies here, whether it's Adams, whether it's Lazard, Nathaniel Hackett, even though Todd Downing's calling the plays now. Do you view him as somebody that can be flexible enough next year to get on board with some sort of significant change to what they're going to do offensively?
That's a great question. That's a great question, because I would think that the results from this year would make him more flexible, right? Like, I wouldn't think he would be thinking, hey, let's run back everything we did this year. It didn't work. So is this league built more towards what he was doing in Green Bay with the LaFleurs? Or is this, and now, you know, obviously the Shanahans, the McVays, like those types of younger, a little more forward offensive thinkers? Or is this still a league where you can win with like an old school West Coast offense that he seems most comfortable in? You know, I do think that the league has adjusted where it's just bigger, more athletic corners that in college, because so many teams run all of these wide open spread offenses and so many of the top of the draft of these great wide receivers, everybody's looking for corners too. And I think guys in college get developed as corners, and now the corners have caught up and just more guys that can play man coverage. And man coverage is really hard to beat when you don't have a lot of schematic ways to beat it. And so I do think that they need to be more of that mindset next year. I would like to think that, you know, to have another kick at the can and maybe have a chance to win, that he would be really open to that. But I mean, he's the only one that can answer that.
Before I hit you with the hockey, one quick one. So you've done obviously the Jets for 23 years, ESPN. You've done a million college games. You're doing bowl games like crazy now. So you've seen a million games at both levels. How the jump from college to the NFL is what? From the standpoint of, we've seen so many great college players not make it in the NFL, and yet some that get drafted later in rounds turn out to be superstars. How big is that jump for these guys?
Well, I mean, I think it's still the same jump, but what I think now gives the college quarterback a major advantage, or at least an advantage they didn't have at one point, was we were always trying to project what like a Patrick Mahomes would be in the NFL coming from one of those kind of quote-unquote college offenses. Well, you know what? Those kind of quote-unquote college offenses that everybody looked down their nose at in the days of Mike Leach and spreading people out and, you know, running like that coaching tree and that DNA, that a lot of that has moved to the NFL now. So a lot of the DNA of what these guys are running in college, in many cases, they're now finding in the NFL. And I think it's making the transition of being able to run an NFL offense for some of these guys an easier transition. What I do think the problem is, and I think this is also where quarterbacks are not served well, the Jets are certainly guilty of this, as are many other organizations, they put way too much on these guys too quickly by starting them right away. You know, like if you draft a guy at the top of the draft, by definition, if you're at the top of the draft, normally you're a bad team. That's why you're at the top of the draft. And now it's like, okay, 21-year-old quarterback who's played 14 college football games, go get him. Go play in the NFL right on opening day and go save my team.
Yeah.
And that's hard. That's really hard. And you can see how hard it is because Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold, these guys are on their fourth different team at this point. And you can see how much different they are now than they were when they were rookies just by having some experience. And you know, maybe the NFL will get back to a place where they let these guys sit for a year, you know, and learn and take it all in and do what the Chiefs did with Mahomes.
Yep.
Let Alex Smith play for a year. Like, don't throw him right out there on day one. Like, let him prepare. And I was joking with Chad Pennington about this at a Jet game one time that, you know, he's not that old, but he is a friggin' dinosaur at this point. When you think about it, he played halfway through his third year. He was a first-round draft choice. And he was 2.5 years into his career before he finally saw the field.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that now happening with a first-round draft choice at quarterback? No. That would never happen.
Not with the way those rookie contracts work.
That's a difference in the NFL now that maybe you need to go back to.
Speaking of young quarterbacks at the top of the draft, not to put you on the spot because I don't know if you've crossed paths at all doing college football games this year or the last year or so. Any of Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward? And if so, if you've seen either of those guys up close, what's your assessment of them at this very early stage as we get ready to turn our eyes to the NFL draft?
Yeah, I have not had Colorado, so I've only seen Shedeur Sanders the way everybody else has seen. And you do need to see them in person to really get like a full grasp. I mean, obviously, he's a tremendous talent. But I don't know. I've never like sat with my analyst in a film room or, you know, sat, you know, I mean, Louis Riddick is who I'm working with. And, you know, who knows? I mean, he could be firing me at some point as a Jet radio guy. Things go well. You never know.
Right.
So, you know, so yeah, breaking down one of those guys or at least sitting with someone who has broken them down We had Cam Ward a couple of times this year. He's really impressive in many, many ways. Now, he would really need to be coached because as a decision maker, if you look at Cam Ward, every play is like, you know what? There's a guy 7 yards in front of me who's wide open and I can check it down and we can run for 12 yards and pick up a first down and move the chains and be efficient. Or there's a guy like 35 yards down the field who's double covered, but man, I can fit this thing in there and we can go score a touchdown right now. Okay. And he throws it, you know, and it leads to the spectacular and it leads to him at one point this year being a Heisman candidate, like a legitimate Heisman candidate. But in the NFL, those windows close very, very quickly. And you throw a lot of interceptions if you approach things that way in the NFL. So he has every possible tool.
All right.
Cam Ward can absolutely be a starting winning quarterback in the NFL. He has that, you know, that swag, that like, I got this quality about him, calm in the pocket, eyes downfield, chaos happening everywhere around him, and still delivers a strike. But yeah, like he needs to be coached to take the easy rather than always try the hard, in my opinion.
All right, last one for me. I'm putting you on the spot. I'm taking the Jets off the table on this question, and I think phenomenal with the NHL. I'd like to see you do more of it, quite frankly.
Same.
You've been doing college football forever, college basketball forever. If you could pick, not even the teams, but if you could pick one to do, what's your favorite, the NHL, the college football, or the college basketball?
Wow. I mean, you know, like I've never been one to be sitting at a college basketball game thinking, oh, I wish I was at a hockey game, right? I love every one of the places that I get a chance to go. The one part that's fun about being involved with hockey at ESPN is we do get to do the playoffs.
Yeah.
We get to be in those buildings and in those atmospheres. Like I've always said, the hard part about college basketball at ESPN is we get to go to amazing places. You're going to Duke and Kansas and North Carolina and Indiana and all of these legendary places of college basketball. And I've been to all of them and it's awesome. But then you do the whole regular season and all the way through Champ Week. And then the whole country fills out a bracket and we just go away.
Yeah.
And all these guys that haven't called a lick of college basketball the whole year come dropping out of the clouds and they get to call the tournament. And we're all having done the whole season sitting home watching it on TV, it's hard, right? Like you want to be a part of the biggest event. And so when you do hockey the whole season, I'll do, I don't know, 35, 40 regular season games. So you're pretty well immersed in the league and get to know a lot of the teams. And then you get to go call the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, I got to call Rangers game 2 Eastern Conference Finals. I'm at the Garden for a Rangers Conference Final game. Not an opportunity that I'm ever going to most likely have calling college basketball. You know, so that's fun. It's fun to have, you know, the finish line be out there. I know you're going to be a big part of it. And that's, I really enjoy that.
Bob, I hope you savored getting the chance to call that playoff action at the Garden last year because it's not looking good right now. And I know you've been immersed in other things, but you do, your home base is in this market. Can you have any sense or any feel or any idea? Because we're all trying to figure it out around here, Boomer, myself included. What the heck has happened to the Rangers so far this season?
Yeah, I mean, I was a Rangers doubter. Anybody that, you know, asked me, I was surprised that they took the tack they took over the last couple of years where, like, to me, they were kind of the NHL's version of, like, the 90s Braves where they had this incredible strength, right? The Braves had their incredible starting pitching, and their starting pitching was really, really, really good. And it won a ton of regular season games. They had an Achilles heel, and it got exposed in the playoffs. The Rangers, same thing. To me, an incredible group of power play specialists that can rack up power play points and win a million games in the regular season and then get to the playoffs where you're playing against better competition that take fewer penalties, and you've got these guys that can be taken out of their game somewhat by playoff hockey, and they're just way too power play dependent, I've always felt. And they kind of ran into some brick walls in the playoffs. And then their attitude was, all right, well, let's just add Riley Smith and run it back. And that's kind of what they did, right? And so now I'm very surprised that they're having this kind of regular season problem.
Right.
I never thought that they would be floundering on the playoff bubble or maybe towards the bottom of the standings. This is really surprising. But maybe this will force them to change things maybe even faster than they would have. I don't know, maybe this will be a blessing in disguise. Maybe they'll change the roster in a way that they needed to faster because of what's going on right now. I don't know.
Bob, we appreciate the time. Merry Christmas. Enjoy the bowl season, and don't be a stranger. We'll talk to you soon.
I'm around, apparently, and I'm allowed now. So
awesome.
Good talking to you guys.
It's about damn time.
Can we? I'd love to play golf with the two of you. Can I make that
we
happen?
Can do that, let's yes, do that. In the summer.
Yes, let's wait for Jerry to work in overnight, and let's book something out.
Bob Verschuessen, thanks, man. Take care.
Thanks, Bob.